Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. As you can hear, my voice is almost 100% back, not quite. It still sounds a little bit like a porn star, but it's way, way better than it was, and the cough is almost gone. And I also want to thank my student Alexandria for this wonderful Chinese cough syrup that is absolutely fabulous, that has made a huge difference in my vocal cords. So forward we go. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and we're going to be talking about the weekly weather for the week of December 14th, 2009. And it's actually a really big week. We have a lot of stuff happening in the sky, a lot of activity in the sky, as well as things kind of stopping and starting. So whenever that happens, we can expect a big news week, and we can also expect a heck of a lot of changes and excitement in our life. So without further ado, we'll go into the week because it's a hopping week. So the most important thing, of course, is we have Mars stationing. We'll start with the most important and we'll go backwards from there. Actually, next Sunday on the 20th, Mars stations. But because this is the weekly show that runs through the 20th, we're going to talk about it today. Because all week long, what's going to happen is Mars is stopping, and when Mars stops, we can feel the heat, we can feel the passion, we can feel the buildup. The frustration really just kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we get a little more irritated, a little more cranky, and a little more at the same time that Mars is stopping in the sky, he's also opposite the gang of three, Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron. Now, he's not going to catch them, but he's within orb. He's like 4 degrees away. So what that does is it makes for him being extra fiery, where normally we think of Mars as, you know, he's pretty good, goes around, does his business. This week, he's really going to be cranky because he's like, I'm frustrated. I'm stopping. I can't move forward, and I'm going to have to go backwards until March. I don't want to go backwards for that long. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm going to go backwards for that long. And then once he has to go backwards for that long, he's going to be going, and I really don't like it. I don't like going backwards that long. I'm not happy. So your job with this week is to know that the energy of whatever feels like it comes to a dead halt is the project you're going to be working on for the next 3 months. Now, one of the things when I was listening to my radio shows in the morning, the whatever the one is at 10:30 in the morning, you know, the weekend review or something, one of those shows, it was like, you know, the healthcare bill is going to fall apart. And I'm like, of course it's going to fall apart. We are about to have Mars stop. Forward motion is about to halt because it stops on Sunday. So we're going to have a huge push this week, build up, build up, build up. But if they don't get the vote in by the 20th, we're waiting until springtime to see what this healthcare bill is. And there's all this stuff flying around. We're going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're going to let this happen. We're not going to let that happen. It's Mars. And so there's a lot of fighting, a lot of craziness, a lot of people cranky. And your job is to say, okay, let's figure out how we work with this. Let's figure out what we do. Let's figure out our new directive in terms of how this shows up. And in your own life, wherever Mars is, since the beginning of October, middle of October, you've had this new story going on in your Leo house. And Mars is going to stop in that house, and he's going to go back and review all the stuff that you've done since the middle of October. And he's going to say, okay, do you really like all that, or do you want to maybe do something else now? And your job is to say, you know, I kind of like it. Or your job is to say, okay, maybe it does need a review. Let's look and see what the review needs to be. Or you can just know that you're in the mode of, you know, the heavens are in the mode to kind of say to you, it's not going forward. So don't get upset about it. Just say it's not happening right now. Doesn't mean it's never going to happen, but it does mean that the next few months, not going to take place. So when that happens, your job is to say, okay, where am I in this? What's my purpose? Why am I doing this? And what do I actually want to have accomplished? And that's what Mars going backwards does, is he says, you thought it was a great idea. You thought it was full steam ahead. But the universe is saying to you, nope, not so fast. We're not having it go full steam ahead. What we're doing is we're having it go pokey. We're actually having it go backwards, but we're not really telling you that because you'll get upset. At the same time, when we do this, we say, okay, what are we trying to accomplish here? And the whole point of it is for you to review and see if this actually is the steps you want to take. So a lot of times when people have this, they'll go, you know, I was ready to get married to him. And then I went, no, not the right one. Or they say, you know, I was all set to quit my job. And it was like, nope, not the one. Or I asked for a divorce and now I've changed my mind. Now I want to get them back again. And so when that happens, your job is to say, well, if it's really changing, if we're really actually in the mood for this whole new life to take place, we're ready now to think about what that's going to look like. And you, as you are busy figuring this out, one of the things you want to do is say, okay, I'm in the process. I'm trying to see how this is going to work. I'm trying to understand what's here. And Mars going backwards says, look again. Don't assume. Look again. Understand the vision. Understand the purpose. And give yourself a new way of seeing it, a new idea of seeing it. So that's the key. So if you can do that, it really works. If you can't do that, it's okay. You're going to feel really frustrated, and that's totally cool too. Because this is one of those things that is really frustrating. And so if you do know that, you can kind of go, okay, I'm in the mood to be really frustrated, and I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be with this frustration. Because part of what's happening right now is nothing's moving forward, and I'm stuck. I'm paused. It's a giant pause button on the TiVo machine of life. And we're all going to replay it, and we're all going to go backwards into the new version, and we're going to get a whole new vision of what it's going to be. Okay? So that's the big purpose for this week. Now, when that happens, when Mars stations, one of the things we find is the men get really weird. Okay? We love the men, but the men get very, very strange when Mars stops in the sky. Because this is the planet that's the mojo planet. This is the hunt planet. This is the go-get-it planet. And this is the planet that rules the men, the same way Venus rules the women. The men are ruled by Mars. So when we find Mars stopping, especially the younger men, the older men more Saturn, but the younger men, it's just like we want to reverse the story. We want to change our mind. We don't really want to do that. And they want to change their mind. They get very, very flaky. They get a little strange. They don't show up. They say they wanted to do something. They change their mind. So if you've got some guy who you got ready to get engaged, or you're ready to be married, or the date's even planned, this is when they're going to say, you know, I don't really know. Don't take it personally. Mars is stationing. It's going retrograde. Say to them, okay, well, why don't you think about it? Get back to me in April. Because in April, they're going to know where they are. Right now, they don't know. They're not happy. And, you know, life sucks, basically, essentially, with Mars retrograde. So don't take it personally if they get strange on you. And they will be strange. The men just get very, very weird when Mars goes retrograde. And if we know that, we don't react nearly as badly as we might if, you know, we didn't know that. So if your friends are going, suddenly they stopped calling, they disappeared, I say to them, well, you know, Mars is retrograde. If you've noticed an unbearable level of tension, building, Mars is retrograde. If you've noticed you're feeling like you want to hit somebody, Mars is retrograde. If you notice you're feeling this incredible passion and you can't wait to start, Mars is about to go retrograde, but that passion, listen to it, pay attention to it, but you're not ready to go forward on it until March. It's a huge week. And the build-up to the station of retrograde Mars is always a very provocative and very intense time for all of us because we're just feeling really put upon, for lack of a better word. And it's not, you know, it's not trying to be mean to you. It's just, you know, every now and then these planets have to stop and go backwards. the thing is the personal planets, you know, like Saturn and Jupiter and Neptune and Chiron and all those guys, they go backwards for half of a year, every year. We get Mercury retrograde 3 to 4 times a year. So we're used to that. We know, okay, back up my database. Okay, you know, my cell phone's going to, my batteries are going to die. My smoke detector's going to start beeping. I'm going to lose my car keys. We're used to the Mercury retrograde. Venus and Mars, they don't go retrograde, but once, Venus every 18 months and Mars every two years. So when they go retrograde, we really notice. So last spring, remember, Venus was retrograde. And when she was retrograde, we changed how we thought about love. So what we, you know, we had Bruce Willis get married. We had David Letterman get married after 23 years of dating his girlfriend. We had, Mark Wahlberg get married after having children with his girlfriend and not really needing to get married. But his Venus, his little girl, said to him, Danny, why don't you marry Mummy? So he did. When Mars goes retrograde, our desire to move forward disappears. So this is when the old boyfriend comes back, when the ex-husband returns, when, you know, the woman that broke your heart calls and says, you know, I realized you were a really nice guy. I want you back. It's a return to what we had before. There's trying to go back. The problem is, of course, you can never really go back. You want to, but you can't. But we're all going to try till March 10th. Or we're all going to say, you know, let's put a break on this and then see where we are in March. Because that's when we're really, truly ready to go forward. And at that point, it'll be much easier to go forward because we're still getting information now about what we need to have happen. So we've got this lovely Mars retrograde. That's on the 20th. But the buildup of it is all week. And Mars is literally stopped in the sky. Right now, he's moving about 3 minutes a day, which is a very teeny tiny amount. So he's right now at 19, on the full moon on Wednesday, he's at 19:35. And on the Mars station 3 days later, he's at 19:41. So he's very, very, very pokey and very, very slow. So the other part is when the planet is very slow, we really feel that energy. We feel it much more, much stronger because it's slow in the sky. We notice it. We pay attention to it. So Mars is the ruler of your action, your sex drive, your ability to want things, your temper, anger. It is passion. It is war. So we can expect kind of a bad week in terms of, you know, bombings and stuff like that in the war areas of the world. And frustrated passion. Think of it that way, because it's stopping, and it's stopping in the sign of Leo, which is passion, and fire. So it's also frustrated fire. So we can have some decent fires break out in various places also. So watching that energy build, knowing it's coming, it's really just being appreciative that that's what's going on when you're feeling like, you know, you've got this tension building in your body. Mars is stopping. The other thing that's happening this week is we have a lovely new moon at 24 degrees of Sagittarius. And 24 degrees of Sagittarius has an interesting Sabian image. It's a fat boy on a hobby horse, which I always kind of love the imagery of. A fat boy on a hobby horse. And what does that image say to us? So I have no idea what that says to you, but I always get a chuckle out of that visual. And I think of it as it's the riding the horse and not getting anywhere, you know. But, you know, have you ever seen kids on those little horses? And they ride them really, really hard. They really work them. But it's not going anywhere. Not moving. It's a hobby horse. Doesn't move. Not like a real horse. Can't go giddy up. It's like kind of sitting there in the living room riding the hobby horse. So that's the imagery for this new moon, as Mars comes to a stop in the sky. So it's kind of an evocative image, and it certainly means an enormous amount to those of you who appreciate the universe does have a sense of humor, and you just heard it right there. Try and ride that hobby horse, honey. It's Mars' station, and you aren't going anywhere. So we have that full moon, or new moon, rather, I'm sorry, on the 16th. And that new moon is bright and early in the morning, and it's a very cardinal first quadrant new moon. So the moon is technically in the shape of a bucket, with Saturn and Mars as two handles for it, as with the way I would read it. And all the other planets are in houses 1, 2, and 3. So this is also a very self-interested new moon. So you're going to hear people all week saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want this anymore. I'm out of here. I don't want to. No, no, no. I don't want to. I want to do this instead. What's calling me. This is my passion. This is boring. I hate it. I don't want to do it. Possibly accompanied by tears, but also possibly just accompanied by a high degree of frustration. And at the same time that we're having this highly frustrated, blocked, not being able to move forward energy, we have this new moon that says, this is not my life. I want a different life. So we can anticipate this week having a lot of pivots and turns. And the handle of the bucket, interestingly, is Mars. So Mars is saying, you might not want to do this, but, you know, you gotta. And the other handle of the bucket is Saturn in Libra saying, maybe you can find somebody to share the job with, or you can find somebody to share the partnership with, or you can find someone who can help you do it too. Because the two of them together are the handles, and they're both talking to the bucket of planets in the first quadrant. And that's in the chart, of course, cast for the East Coast of the United States. But regardless, the handle of the bucket is Saturn and Mars, wherever you are in the world. Mars meaning I'm not going forward in this whatever the enterprise is. Mars is stationing. And Saturn in right now is in a very tight square, just separated from a square to Pluto. But he has part two at the end of January. So he's still in orb of his square to Pluto. And he's speaking to him about the psychological changes that are needed in your life and in other people's lives to be able to go forward. Because Saturn and Pluto are having this big psychological conversation. We've covered this before, but the years for that conversation are 94, 2001, 82. In each of those years, Saturn and Pluto talked to each other and started something. And now, as Saturn and Pluto station in a closing square, closing squares are always psychological squares, where we are asked by the universe to integrate what we've learned on the conjunction, the opening crisis, and the full moon, the opposition, now we're being asked to psychologically integrate what that means and how it works. And if we think of it that way, the psychological integration of the structure of your life so far, you understand how you've gotten to where you are at this moment, and you get it. And now you know this is how you got to where you are. You know that if you want to go forward properly, Mars retrograde, you have to change your behavior. Oh, Mars, I have to change my Mars? Yes. You have to act in a way, Mars and Leo, that serves your sun, your ego's purpose and why you incarnated on Earth, because your sun is why you're here. So you've got this whole, this whole discussion this week about why you're here. The universe is going to be sitting you down for a little chit-chat, and it's going to say, so, you're here on Earth, you're however old you are, why are you here? And you're going to have to answer. You're going to say, well, I don't know. Or you're going to say, well, I'm here to do this, this, and this. And they go, yeah, okay, how's that going for you? Well, it's okay. And what would you like extra? Would you like anything extra? You're perfectly happy with everything the way it is? Well, I might like that, you know. So earlier today, I was working at a party. I was reading cards and palms because computers are hard to pull into parties and read charts. So I was reading cards, tarot cards and palms for a party of people, which is always quite fun because you meet a bunch of people that you wouldn't necessarily come for a reading, but they'll come and sit at your table for 5 or 10 minutes. So I had this one very lovely Taurus woman who sat down, and I said to her, so, you know, what do you want? Palms or cards? She's like, I don't know. I said, well, do you have a question? I don't know. Well, you're sitting here. You're sitting here for a reason? Well, I don't really know why I'm sitting here. I'm like, okie dokie, this is going to be a wild one. So I'm like, okay, so like, well, you know, you sat down, obviously, you know, you came and sat here for a reason. There's a lot of things you could be doing at the party. You could be having the caricature guy draw you. You could be having the magic card guy show you magic card tricks. You could have the balloon guy making you a hat. You're here at my table. Why are you here? And so basically, it was nothing came out. Just really a lot of trouble. And I was like, so well, what do you want next? I don't know. And it was really hard. You know, we don't often think about that. And so today my job was for not all the people, but for quite a number of them is, well, what do you want next? You know, this is what the cards are saying is coming. And what would you like to do to get there? And in case they were like, I don't know how, we said, well, let's ask the cards for some guidance on how to get there. You know, like, oh, well, you have to, you know, stand in your authority. You know, you get the Emperor card. You have to kind of own your potential or know who you really are. You know, what you're trying to do, or you have to talk a little more. You know, you get the Knight of Swords. What's your vision? And the universe this week is going to be asking you that, because Mars is stopping, and he's not going to be able to go forward and get you your vision. And what he normally gets for you, he's not going to really be able to get either over the next few months. Where normally he gets you Chinese food at 11 o'clock at night, he's going to say, no Chinese food at 11 o'clock at night. I'm not getting it for you, because Mars is on strike. He's going backwards. He's busy going back. He can't go forward because he forgot his whatever he forgot, and he's going back to the beginning of October to get it. And you're going to be sitting going, okay, I lost my mojo because Mars is gone. What's going to really happen is you're going to lose your excuses, the things that distract you or that keep you from having what you want or keep you from moving towards what you want are going to disappear. They're going to just kind of fall away, and you're going to say, well, I lost, that's gone. It's like, so now what do you want? And that you want to ask yourself that question as you're processing this week, because the new moon says you're supposed to be putting down seeds for something new that you want towards building the structure of your life. And while Mars is going backwards, it's not actually going to go very far, but you at least know what it is. And then we have this Mars station where he goes backwards, and then when he starts going forward in March, he's going to come back to you and say, okay, so now I'm ready to go forward. What did you guys figure out while I was gone for 3 months? And you're going to tell him. And at that point, you should be clear, because you're going to have had a number of clearing energies. You're going to have 3 of the 4 Uranus-Saturn oppositions. You're going to have 2 of the 3 Saturn-Pluto squares. You're not to the cardinal cross yet, but you're getting there. And your life structure is moving into this whole new phase. The next thing that happens this week, like I said at the beginning of the hour, this is a big week. The next thing that happens this week is the Sun is, last week he talked to Jupiter, and this week he talks to, last week he talked to Neptune. This week he talks to Uranus and Jupiter and Neptune. So last week he talked to Chiron. I take that back completely. Mercury's retrograde already. So he is talking to Uranus, Jupiter, and Neptune this week. He's having a square with Uranus on Monday the 14th. So what Monday the 14th is going to be is a busy, busy day, because there's a lot of planets doing a lot of things, having a lot of fights. And Sun squares Uranus, and he sextiles Jupiter. Venus is semi-square to Athena. Mars is quintile to Athena. So the two of them are talking to Athena, saying, what's the plan? Mercury is semi-square to Ceres, saying, you can't go home again. And Venus is in a biquintile to Saturn, saying, what's the vision of where we're headed? What's the idea? Where are we headed? The most important in there is the Sun square Uranus. It's a closing square, psychological integration around when the Sun joined with Uranus last spring, because he takes a year to go around and talk to Uranus. So in last March, when in the time of Pisces, Sun joined with Uranus, and you started a process. And he's going to say, where are you on this? And you're going to say, I'm here. And when Uranus started to go forward again last week, a lot of people lost their jobs or changed or broke up with relationships or ended things or quit or moved or whatever. There was a lot of activity with the Uranus station. This week, the Sun brings consciousness to whatever that activity was. So when that break or that rupture happened, when that change happened, the Sun squares Uranus, and you're now into this whole new place. Conscious. So the sun is bringing consciousness to you this week. He's also bringing a sextile to Jupiter, which is an expansion of the relatedness energy. Then on the 15th, he's bringing a sextile to Neptune, which is an expansion of the connectedness to what your soul's purpose is. Because Neptune is where we find God in the sky, in our hearts, in our being, in the world around us. It's where we find the divine. So Neptune talking to the divine on the 15th often brings a revelation of sorts, a spiritual release or spiritual recognition, some kind of new understanding. And that also is the day before the new moon. So it's in the dark of the moon in Capricorn, major release. Boom, time to let it go. Dark of the moon, I'm sorry, in Sagittarius, not Capricorn, I'm off in my time. Then the other thing that happens is Venus mirrors this. Venus is going to repeat this thing right after the sun does. So she's going to sextile Chiron like the sun did last week. She's going to square Uranus. She's then going to sextile Jupiter before on the 20th, and then, of course, she'll do stuff with Neptune on the 21st, 22nd. So what Venus is going to do is, after the sun has his consciousness and his wake-up and his aha moment, Venus comes right behind him, and she does the same thing. And she's traveling combust the sun, meaning it's very difficult for Venus right now to have a different opinion than what the sun wants. When a planet is combust, they're close to the sun within. People argue about the degrees. I like 8 degrees, but some people do as big as 15. But she's definitely within 8. She's 5 degrees away from the sun, and she's catching up to him because she moves faster than he does. And so when Venus is following the sun has the ego recognition of what he needs or what he wants to help you grow. And he goes, oh, my God, I just figured this out. And he turns to Venus, and he says, Venus, baby, look at what I figured out. And Venus hears him because she's always near him. She's within 46 degrees, 48 degrees. She never's far, only one sign away at the most. And she goes, really? That's what you want? And the sun goes, yes. That's what I need to further my spiritual path, to further my development, to further my vision, sun in Sagittarius. My purpose in life is this. And she goes, okay, I hear you. I hear you, big guy. And then with that knowledge, she then proceeds to have conversations with Uranus and Jupiter and Neptune and say to them, okay, sun wants this. How do we get it? You know, you woke, you were the one that told him you got a Rolex watch. He wants one now. Where do I get a Rolex watch? Or you were the one that told him this is where you go for spiritual enlightenment. How do I get him to find spiritual enlightenment by going there? You know, it's understanding that when Jupiter, sun sets it off first, then Jupiter comes along behind and goes, okay, now I know he knows what he wants. How do I get it? And that's part of the energy of this week. A realization of what you truly, really need. And then an understanding of, oh, I really need this. This would make me happy. This other thing's not making me so happy. But this would make me happy. And then Mars stops in the sky and he says, I know it would make you happy, but you're going to have to wait till next spring to get it. And we call it kind of a cosmic joke because it is on some level. The whole thing's a bunch of fun. And it keeps you alive and lively because if it was just, you know, you wanted it and you got it and you didn't have to work for it, you wouldn't appreciate it. So you get to work for it. So Venus is having this conversation. And as she does, Mars stops. And he right now is in Leo, right? So she can turn and shout to him. They're in a conversation with each other, but he's not going to catch her. She's running ahead of him. And she's going to go, Mars, when you get a chance, can you pick up some milk and butter and what the sun wants at the grocery store? And Mars goes, honey, I will, but I got to go for 3 months, you know, to the retrograde. So it's not going to be till like next May. Is that okay? May? Oh, all right. So we have to wait till May. Cool. And that's what happens this week. The realization, the wake up, the aha moment, and then now you have to wait now that you figured it out. But what the figuring it out does and the aha moment does is it helps you get clear on the vision. it'll help you clarify it, because in the meantime, between now and March 10th, when Mars goes direct again, there's a lot of information that comes in, including not least of which, Mercury's retrograde in a couple of weeks. Mercury goes retrograde on the 26th, I believe. Yeah, he goes retrograde on the 26th at 9:30 in the morning. When he goes retrograde, he's got a whole other story going, because he's going back in Capricorn, and he's talking to Saturn and Pluto. So it's big jobs. This is a big, big week, with the idea being clear about it, seeing it, understanding it. Venus has her trine to Mars on the 17th, but she doesn't find out what the Sun wants until after the trine. So that, you know, so she gets the information and then kind of goes, honey, oh, wait, I forgot to tell you, you know, and he goes, oh, okay, but not till March. Remember, that was the sex before I got shipped off for, you know, 9 months, 3 months. So May, June, there. Okay, see you then. Bye. So that's the other story. Venus and Mars are separating this week. They're having a reunion of sorts on the 17th, and then they separate for 3 months. Because he goes backwards and she goes forwards, and they kind of move. And in your life, your desire nature will go forward, your ego nature will go forward, your ability to get it will go backwards, and your understanding of it will transform and change over the next couple weeks as Mercury goes retrograde. So it's a big week, big, big week. The other thing that happens this week is Juno enters the sign of Aries. Now, when Juno enters the sign of Aries, we have action from the wife. And, of course, Mars and Leo, as I said last week, that's Tiger Woods. He's playing it out for the collective. Mars and Leo is tigers and lions and bears, and here's a tiger. And he announced this week he's stopping golf, going to spend time with his family. Well, on the 17th, Juno goes into Aries, zero Aries, world axis. So we can expect a lot of war words around relationships then, including, I would imagine, in Mr. Woods' relationship. And that's a couple days after the new moon, which is on the 16th, Wednesday, right? Yeah, 16th. And so then Juno goes into Aries the 19th, so we have fighting words among spouses. Okay, so that's also the day before Mars goes retrograde. So we have a big fight, and then we leave. Now remember, when you have a big fight and you leave, or you go retrograde, or you reverse your position, somebody has to pick up the phone. Somebody has to make the call, or the relationship can end. I was reading, I don't remember who it was, but it was some magazine, and they said, well, she yelled at him, which was a match. And then he just didn't answer, didn't pick up the phone, never followed up, which ended the relationship. So that's what can happen this week, too. The little sparky thing, the little passion thing that gets erupting on the 19th or the 18th, it can end relationships because the Sun is joining to the North Node and Venus is in conjunct to the North Node. Or semi-sextile to the North Node, I'm sorry. And in that capacity, we can have a thing end even if we're not 100% sure we want it to end. But this is a good week for ending relationships, if you're interested in ending your relationship and saying, you know what, I don't really want to do this anymore. Bye. Great week for that, especially on the 20th. Use that Mars station wisely. Correspondingly, I don't think that's actually a word. The other thing you can do with Mars retrograde is you can go back to old life, old habits, old beliefs, old behaviors, and reverse things, let them go. So it's a good transit for losing weight. It's a good transit for letting go of bad behaviors. You've got 3 months, so you've got plenty of time to get you out of the behavior that you're in into a new one. And it's very useful for positively redoing things that need to be redone. So I have a list of little crafty projects here around the house, you know, touching up the paint here, putting down the new floor there, hanging the blinds in the living room, in the kitchen, getting those pictures from the framer, putting them up on the kitchen wall. I got a list, a little task list of things for myself to do while Mars is retrograde. And you should build one too, because this is kind of repair and replace the things that serve you and support you, you know, because it is in Leo. So it's the stuff that's going to make you happy when you have it done. And with Mars retrograde, it's a great time to redo things or revisit things or revise things. So that's the scoop for the week. Big week. And then we have, in the meantime, if you would like to call in with a question, 347-215-7467. 347-215-7467. So we'll talk briefly before I pick up the callers on the closing aspects. So the 14th and the 15th, the moon's in Sag. The closing aspect is at 7:02 in the morning, which is the new moon. So the closing aspect for the 14th and 15th is a new beginning and a release. So you can end something or you can start something on the 14th or 15th. Either way, it's going to be very supported. The 15th has a very long void moon. Void, void, void all day long. You're not supposed to do anything on a void moon except meditate and contemplate. Of course, that's not how America works, but to the best of your ability, meditate and contemplate until 5:32. If you actually have to do something, make it be things that are routine and route, like filing and putting stuff away and doing your laundry. No grocery shopping because you'll buy the food and you'll eat out all week and it'll go bad. But stuff that is supportive of your process. The 5:32 on Wednesday night, moon goes into Capricorn. Thursday, the moon's in Capricorn. Friday, the moon's in Capricorn with a closing aspect of a sextile to the moon. So that's a lovely aspect to take action on unusual things or on things around computers or electronics or to get things done or to get things out the door because sextiles are helpful and supportive, and the moon in Capricorn is very practical. And then on the 19th, the moon goes void at 3:07 at night on the 18th. And then on the 19th, the moon goes into Aquarius at 5:39. It's in Aquarius on Saturday and Sunday. With a closing aspect at 7:54 Monday morning, and that is a sextile to Venus. Again, fabulous day to get stuff done, accomplished, shopping, et cetera, et cetera. You're still ahead of Mercury's retrograde, so it's not a problem. Mars stationing does not mean you can't buy electronic equipment. Go buy stuff. That will be a day when things kind of do take a little longer because Mars is dead stopped in the sky, and people will be very frustrated. But it's not a bad day to get things because the Aquarius moon is about working with the collective. The 9th and the 10th, the 14th and the 15th, Monday and Tuesday, is about your vision of the world. Your Saturday, your Wednesday all day is kind of your vision but dream version. The 17th and 18th is your work in the world, your purpose, why you're here. And your 19th and your 20th is your collective, working in the collective, the great cosmic collective that we're all a member of. So with that, without further ado, we'll take some callers. I know I was a little long-winded today, but this is a big week, and I needed to talk for a long period of time because I actually have a voice again and I can talk again. So I'm excited about that. All right, so forward we go. Let's see if we get a caller. 571, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to ask this real quickly. My birthday is this week.
Cool.
Yeah. So
what day?
The 17th.
Cool. Right after the new moon.
Well,
moon in Capricorn. Yep.
How much that would affect it.
How much would affect what?
How the new moon would affect this coming year with it being right before my birthday.
Well, the new moon means it's a whole year of new beginnings that don't go anyplace that fast because Mars is stationing, because your Mars is stopped. So you can get a lot of things accomplished. Right, with the new moon, the new moon after your birthday, so that's cool. And then the Mars stationing like 3 days later kind of says Mars is really slow, so it can feel like stuff that you would think would go rapidly might take longer than you thought. It would still go forward, but it wouldn't go forward at the speed with which you might like. At the same time, when it does go forward, it's very much in service to what you're trying to do. And on the day of your birthday, you actually have lovely aspects because Venus trines Mars. So it makes it be a fairly good year for money and for relationships and partnerships, even if there is a little bit of emotional frustration with the moon square to Saturn about whether you get what you want. You know, it's like you'll know what you want, but you might not get it. But that's okay. If you know that you're born this time with Mars stopping, this makes it be a slow year for creation. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen at the speed you might like.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, because I've had like a lot of things since October. I mean, it's uncanny. You're like right on target with everything since October.
Astrology's on target. I am a good interpreter of the stars.
Well, you are. And I think it was the week of October 20th, I like, you know, applied for some jobs and had talked to an agent about a book and all this stuff, and nothing happened. And then it all came back up, and like an interview that I thought they weren't going to hire me, called me back last week, had me came in, offered me a job, but didn't give me a start date, which has been like the theme of everything this year. It's like, yes, we want you, but we don't know when. Like, damn it. But I got, like, I'm starting one job tomorrow, and I think this other job will probably start at the first of the year. And then the book thing is, like, kind of got passed back with suggestions, which were really good. So it's like, when you were saying March, it's like, okay, so I got 3 months to really use this thing up. And that, you know, so that's now my, kind of my goal for that.
Good. Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's moving.
It is moving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's it, as long as money's starting.
Yeah, money starts. Venus trines Mars. Yeah, no money will start. Well, you got a job starting this week. This is good.
Yeah.
And it's starting
yes.
on a good day. Uh-huh. You know, with Sag Moon, you've got Venus sextile Jupiter on Monday, and you also have the Moon sextile Saturn. So in both cases, you know, it'll be a job you actually like, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So that's nice. There's some kind of weird boss energy there. Somebody may quit the first day you're there. Don't let it rattle you.
No,
with the sun square Uranus. Huh?
Yeah. Well, I think all of this stuff, it's already, you know, like you, when you're in the middle of it, you think you're being crucified. And then right as things start to get better, you go, oh, that's what all that was. And
that's
like
why that worked.
Starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's already starting to be like, okay, not fun going through it, but worthwhile maybe. But still not fun.
I'm in the process.
Yeah. Okay.
We do have this whole thing. I mean, I know I do it myself. I'll be like, okay, I want this.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I want it. Great. And then it's like, okay, so what are you going to do to get it, you know? And that's kind of where this is really much a, I want it. I get it now. I want it. It's like, okay, you can have it, but what are you going to do to get it? And it was interesting because when I was doing the cards at this party today, everything was like March, May, July, you know, July, October next year, you know, and I'm like, October. And they're like, not till then. I'm like, nope, October. You got stuff to do all spring. You got to do this, and this. And it was kind of like, okay, everybody's got like to go back and do stuff maybe they aren't really thrilled with, but it'll actually be for their better good if they get it finished between now and March, because then they're really free to go forward and really create what they truly want with the sun, because they have to wrap that up, and that gives them the permission and the go-ahead. So it's very, very powerful week. Because we get clear, but we realize we can't go forward just yet. We have all this other stuff to do before we get there. So.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And is this like part of? Is this retrograde sort of a not? This isn't just like an isolated thing. This is part of things that happened earlier. Is it?
Yes, ties back to stuff that happened earlier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because like I feel like I'm at. This is just the middle of something. Like I can tell it's like. Okay, like work, and now here's the middle. Got to work, then there'll be more.
Yeah, middle is good. Then we have a little conclusion thing at the end of April. We have another conclusion at the end of July. And then we have a final August 21st. And then we're forward, full steam ahead into the new stuff. So, because Saturn will be back in Libra then, too. Because Saturn, remember, goes back into Virgo for a little patch there, April, May, June. So we finished with the Mars retrograde. And then we have to deal with Saturn retrograde in Virgo for 3 months, finishing up the Virgo story. And then we're really ready. So Mars is like going to point out all the things Saturn didn't do. And then Saturn's going to have to fix them when he's in retrograde, April, May, June. And then he goes forward in July, and then the cardinal cross forms, and everybody's like, boing, okay, time to start. The image I keep getting is like, you know, in the races when they do a false start and they all have to come back.
Yeah.
You know, like the runners, they kind of, somebody jumps off the block and they all go. It's that kind of thing. And so we're all going to have kind of a false start this week, and then we'll get back on the thing, and then we'll do the real start in June.
you know, that really feels that way. Mm-hmm. And because I kind of picture it as like editing, that it's sort of like, oh, you have a really good draft, but you think it's done, and it's like, mm-hmm. you're right, it's mm-hmm. a draft. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, no, it's a draft.
All right.
But it's done, but no, it's not. Go fix it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But at least
expand here, change this, you know, because then when you look and you go, oh, yeah, you're right, it should be expanded. I knew what I was saying because I was writing it, but the
exactly.
reader may not have a clue because it's not, the words aren't there. They're in
you know,
my head, you know. Huh?
But that's exactly what that's exactly what I got back, and it was
yep.
absolutely right.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
it was like, yeah, yeah, you, and I was like, oh, well, that's because I knew what it meant, it was supposed to say.
Right. So now I'll just put the words in there, and everybody else will know too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
oh,
cool.
Good. And thank you so much.
You
have
are
a really
welcome.
Good day. Okay.
Have a
Bye-bye.
Good week. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, 917. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, 917.
Am I 917?
Yep, you're 917.
Okay, nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you too. How can I help?
Well, my partner and I are trying to have a baby, and
cool.
We're both women, so we have to have doctor's assistance
help.
With this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, you know, am I on the right time? And is there something you could tell me about when I should start, you know, actually trying?
Okay, cool. What's your birthday?
To September 23rd, 1971.
Okay, time?
9:29 p.m.
9:29 p.m. Where?
Concord, California.
Concord, C-O-N-C-O-R-D?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. And are you living still in California?
No, I'm now in Brooklyn, New York.
You're in Brooklyn. Okay, because we're going to look at two charts. We'll look at both of them for... Brooklyn's where you're living now, and it's
yep.
going to, you know, because we're 3 hours east, it's going to give you a slightly different chart. Your natal chart's still the master chart, but we like to look at both. Okay, so making the babies, September 23, 1971, 9:29 at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically you have a loaded fifth house. So now that you're partnered, and you've been with partner about a year, year and a half, or you started thinking about the baby last year?
We started thinking about a baby last year. Yeah,
okay.
We've been together 3 years.
Okay, because the Juno is last year was like, okay, we're going to stay together and make a baby. That,
yeah,
when
that's
when
exactly
Saturn
what it happened.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got right now Saturn going through your fifth house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Saturn in your first house is in Gemini. So Saturn in Gemini coming to your fifth, the ruler, you know, it's in your first house. So it's saying, I want to dedicate my effort and my work towards making a baby, fifth house.
Okay.
He has finished with Pluto. Did you miscarry or did you have a little problem with the pregnancy?
No, I haven't. I haven't,
you haven't done anything.
Given it a shot yet, but I have been talking to the doctor for about a month and a half. I just haven't gone into it.
You haven't done anything.
You know.
Okay, yeah. Because I was going to say, this looks like you would have started this like the end of September, end of October time frame. Like
yeah,
in
that we had a start in like finding the doctor. Right?
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
Finding the
yeah.
right doctor, and we found one about a month and a half ago.
Okay, cool. Then Saturn's going to be on your zero world axis
mm-hmm.
This year. Right now, he goes back to it in June, July. You've got lovely pregnancy aspects because he goes back to hit Pluto in April, May, June, and then I would expect you to be pregnant by then. Now, you do have a little thing with the Virgo stuff in your first house. So have you ever been pregnant before?
No.
Okay. You might have a pregnant, you know, like 25% of pregnancies don't actually end in babies.
Right.
So I'm not saying you're going to have a miscarriage, but you might have some spotting or some trouble carrying it, especially if you've been on any kind. Well, you probably haven't been on birth control, right, in your life?
Well, 10 years ago I was.
Okay.
10 years before
yeah,
that.
A lot of times there's like the first one kind of makes it but doesn't quite make it.
Okay.
Because you have
yeah.
another one in the fall. You have another opportunity for pregnancy next September.
Okay.
So you've got, like, you've got pregnant, you know, you got a possible for pregnancy in January.
Okay.
You got another one for it in April, and then another one in May, June, and then you got another one in July, and then you got another one in September. So you got a lot of little babies energy in this house. So
okay.
I would say to you, you're definitely going to get pregnant, but if you do term one or one miscarries, that may be why there's so much action in that house.
So not to freak out, just to
not
try
to
again.
Freak out. Just know it's part of, you know, we don't, you know, it used to be we didn't have birth control. We just made the babies and the babies popped out. And one
right.
out of every four wouldn't make it because, you know, it comes from one little cell and turns into a whole human being, a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the doctor said. She said it was pretty common not to have them always work out, you know, that
right.
people, and it was actually a good sign if you didn't.
It is, because it means you can get pregnant. It just means it's clearing out all the, you know, because the other thing is we have a lot of toxins in our body.
Right.
You have birth control method. So there can be stuff that kind of is in there that is, you know, not doesn't necessarily want to hold a baby, you know, or the baby wants to clear it. You know, that one kind of comes in and goes, okay, I'll take all this stuff and clear it out, and then the rest of you can come through and make babies. But, yes, you have a lovely chart for getting pregnant, and it does look like you can get pregnant reasonably easy.
Okay.
So I don't think you're looking at a huge amount of expense or time. I think you can definitely get pregnant on the first shot, but you may not carry it, and that's totally cool because you've got all these other pregnancies right behind it.
Okay.
So they then say to you, okay, I think it's like 3 months now. They say, okay, wait 3 months and then do it again. And you're kind of young, so you're not doing drugs on this, right?
No, not yet.
You're doing sperm? Yeah. So that should be – well, I mean, sometimes they give you – you're not old enough, I don't think, to do the stuff that makes you pop multiple –
I don't want to have.
Yeah, you want to just do
sperm. Help it.
No. I mean, that was my question. You can just do sperm and get this, and you'll be fine.
Yeah,
I think you're definitely getting pregnant, and you've got a lot of dates. So I would say go forward with it. Now, with Mars retrograde, partner can clutch a little, or you can clutch a little, because you actually go, okay, we're ready to do this. So what I would do is I would investigate through March 10th and get really comfortable with the whole process. And then start the process then, because I think you'll get pregnant quickly if you want, you know, if you're really, truly ready to do it. And what happens when you're ready to pull the trigger is usually someone gets a little nervous, and because Mars is in the fourth house opposite your Mars on the midheaven, one of the two of you might go, well, you know, are we really ready for a baby? I don't know that we're really ready for a baby. So kind of just say, okay, we're gonna do research and get everything ready, figure out the cost, figure out what we need to do, figure out our legal papers. And if we, you know, if we start while Mars is retrograde, that's totally cool. And if we don't start until March 10th, that's totally cool too. We'll kind of play it by ear, no pressure. But in March, we'll definitely give it a forward motion. And if we start now, you know, we may get pregnant, and that's totally cool. But if we don't, that's okay too.
Okay.
Because Mars retrograde for you, Mars is a really high planet. Are you the one that's going to be carrying?
Yes, me.
Okay. Because your chart gets a little anxious. And I mean this in a very kind way. Your chart gets a little anxious. You got that moon in Scorpio. And when you go to commit, and not to be mean, but your moon in Scorpio goes, oh, my God, you know, like this is 30 years, and I'm going to be, you know, and you're going to have like one of those things, you know. So Mars is stationing, squaring your moon, and moon rules your third house in your mind. And it also rules the legal matters of partner, right? So in New York State, because we don't have partnership laws, you know, that make her an automatic partner, you have to figure out the legal ramifications.
Right. All
to,
the paperwork,
you know,
which
all that me. All that stuff has to be handled. So that's part of that may be why you're freaking out too. Like, well, legally, how do we do it? So, but it's not badly indicated. You're Taurus rising. You got 5 or 6 planets in the fifth house. You definitely can make the babies. You could have 6 or 7 if you really wanted to push it. And, you know, and you got the moon in Scorpio, which is very fertile. Your Mercury, your ruler of your fifth house, is not in a fertile placement, because that would mean, to me, the first one not making it, or maybe having trouble staying in. Might be that they just say go to bed and stay in bed for a while.
Right.
And so if you need to do that, then you need to make sure the finances are covered. But the first one is a little...
Well, that's the other trouble, so...
Right, well, the
tell
first...
Tell me anything about when the finances are going to be good, that'd be awesome, too.
Well, the finances are one of the areas that you have to kind of figure, because part of what your chart likes to do is create... You have the ruler of the second house in the fifth house, so part of your purpose is to create, and you also have Saturn in Gemini, so there's a little inhibition on your chart about making money. You just get nervous about it. It makes you uncomfortable. What happened when you were, you don't have to tell me, but think about what happened when you were 6 and a half that made you get nervous about money. It's not a natural block. It's something that was put in by your parents. There was some story at 6 and a half that got you all freaked out about money as a method of control. And you didn't want to have it be an issue with you, so you decided not to make money. Your chart can actually make a lot of money, but it gets nervous making it.
Okay.
So you have to kind of dig around in the story. 6 and a half around dad.
Okay.
6 and a half, 7, almost 8. And
well,
then 13.
Eight, the parents got divorced. That was very traumatic.
That was very traumatic. 6.5, what was going on with your parents' dynamic that you picked up?
Right.
Right. There was something there that made your mother, I don't want to say sacrifice herself, but not stand up for herself because she didn't have money or she didn't have income or she didn't have a job.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so you have that internalized in you.
All
so
right,
here you are, ready to make a baby, and you're going, but I don't have a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be dependent on partner. So it's bringing up the story from when you were little.
Okay.
Right, where your mother had kids and she couldn't afford them.
Right.
Or she couldn't afford to leave, or whatever the story was with your parents. You know,
yeah.
She didn't have her independence because she didn't have money.
That
but that's
sense.
Okay. You do not have a block on making money. You actually have a very nice chart to make money. You just have to give yourself permission to do it.
Okay.
But money was given an evil cast when you were like 6.5.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And you just have to say, money is great. Money allows me to have a babysitter and go to a movie. I like money, and not be afraid of it. The other part of it is, and I don't know if you're a struggling artist or if you do some kind of art stuff.
I'm a writer that hasn't put this stuff out to be published yet.
Alrighty, okay. So that's the other fear, is like, will they reject me? It's not perfect enough. I don't know if I can have it. So the baby is another form of creativity.
Okay.
And the same house, right? So when you have that kind of fear of it's not going to be enough, or it's not going to be good enough, or can I afford to do it, or is it something? And your chart can definitely make money from writing. And you actually have planets on the world, what's called the world axis, meaning you can be famous for what you write.
Okay.
You just need to get it out the door.
All right.
You have planets to be famous for being a writer. So,
well,
or some kind of or a lawyer. You could be a lawyer too and be famous for that.
Well, I'm a teacher, so I think writer is probably closer. So I think back to law school, but
right.
Definitely have a book that I've been writing.
So. All right, so let's get it out the door. At least get a couple samples out while you're giving birth to the baby, because both of them want to go out the door now.
Okay.
The baby wants to come in, and the book wants to go out. That's your first child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Did you start it in the fall of 2007?
Yeah.
Okay.
That baby
needs to go to preschool before this new one comes in.
Okay.
So send it out. Find somebody to send it to.
Okay.
But yeah, don't be afraid of making money, honey. You can make a lot of money with this chart. You just have to believe that, the dynamic that you watched with your parents was not necessarily a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Money was used as a control mechanism, and it really made your mother crazy. And she did not have necessarily good, and no disrespect to her, she didn't necessarily have good relationships to money, because was used as power for her.
Absolutely.
And so you don't...
It was that's true for her whole life, yeah.
Yes. So you watch that, we're little sponges when we're tiny. We just absorb everything, and we go, oh my God, money is control. I'm not going to make any, so no one can control me. Okay, that's one solution. The other solution is, I'm going to make so much, I can control everything I need to control. Take that approach. Because you sided with your mother.
Right.
Right? So you were like, no one's going to control me with money, which
right.
is totally cool. But the way you can also do that is, no one's going to control me with money because I have so much, I'm free.
Right.
Right. Add a little onto that sentence.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm free because I have enough abundance to create what I need.
Exactly.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah, it sounds like a perfect plan. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And keep me posted if the baby comes.
I will.
Thank you very much. We'll look at the chart and tell you what the potential for the child is when it shows up. So congratulations.
Okay.
I say go for it.
Thank you.
100 miles an hour with Mars retrograde. Remember, it's going to be driving with the brake on. But, do the research. Do the research.
Okay.
Forward you go.
Thank you kindly.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Have a nice night, ma'am.
Thanks. And the British lady is telling me my time is almost up. Okay. So, I don't know. Can you guys hear the British lady? I hear her. Do you hear her, too? She goes, 60 seconds. All right, so anyway, this is the week of December 14th. I am Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. I speak every Tuesday at East West Bookstore from 6:30 to 7:30. This week we're on, and the next 2 weeks, of course, I'm announcing it, but the next 2 weeks we're off, the 22nd and the 29th, for the holiday break. This is the weekly weather that you can anticipate. the energy of the week. So forward you go into the week of December 14th with a Mars stationing and a new moon and the sun being illuminated and Venus being illuminated. And everybody coming to some kind of aha moment. It's an aha kind of week. And so your job is to say, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm exactly as evolved as I wanted to be at this point in time. And I'm going forward on my path in the best way possible for my life. And remember, if you can dream it, it's in your chart someplace, which means give yourself permission to go for your dream. Take care, and I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.